Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
To borrow a line from another coach in town, it's the day before. Another Thunderbird season is upon us. Will the team build off last season's second half success? Will youth be served? Will they return to the postseason? And what about Naomi? The answer to most of these questions with the coach and guest on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette.
And welcome back. Despite the playoff run last spring ending sooner than they wanted it to, it has still been a busy past 4 months for the Seattle Thunderbirds, what with the blockbuster Bantam Draft Day trade with Kelowna, making noise at the NHL draft with technically four players selected from the T-Birds roster that was there last season, and of course a preseason that just finished filled with a lot of the wins. It's all led up to the cusp of a new season, season number 45 for the franchise. And to set up the season, we have with us co-host Andy Ide. Later on, the general manager, Bill LaForge, will join us, and John Keane, the voice of the Kamloops Blazers, will set up the T-Birds opening night opponent, the Kamloops Blazers coming to town Saturday night. But leading it off, as always, it's the head coach as he enters his third season at the helm, Matt Odette. Well, Matt, I'm trying to go back to the last show we did. I think it was actually after the show we completed recording that show. We're kind of looking ahead already. The playoffs, unfortunately, ended far sooner than you wanted to, obviously. Everybody who doesn't make it past the round or doesn't win, I guess, is a disappointment. But I recollect a conversation as you were looking ahead saying, well, you know, we'll probably have a pretty good first line of Matthew Wedman, Henrik Rybinski, and Dylan Hamilick, and that lasted all of about maybe 2 weeks, because then the Bannon draft arrived, and the trade with Kelowna that sent Hamilick, Jake Lee, and Cole Schwabius to Kelowna for some very high draft picks. And then, Matt Wedman is still, as we speak, with the AHL affiliate of the Florida Panthers, who drafted him in the draft. So at the moment, you only have Henrik Rybinski on that top line. But coaches, if nothing else, have to be adaptable, and I'm sure you've learned that. And you're now 2+ years as head coach of the T-Birds, that you adapt, especially at the junior level, to the situation.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Things change quickly. Injuries and whatnot, and you got to be prepared for anything, and it's the same thing this year. We didn't expect the Tishka decision to go that way. Now we've got Carbonello for long term. So you just got to roll with the punches, and, for guys that are looking for opportunity, when there's injuries and situations like this that come up, all of a sudden opportunity presents itself, so guys got to take advantage of it.
And we're going to have the general manager who made that trade, Bill LaForge, will be on here in the program later. How long were you guys not on speaking terms after he traded away Dylan Hamilick? I mean, obviously something that he'll bring to you. We have this great opportunity. We're building, again around this young group. But how much sway do you have in a situation when that kind of a trade opportunity comes up?
Well, we communicate on these things all the time, and Bill is really good at keeping everybody in the know. That was something that we discussed. The second half of our season was so good. Unfortunately, we didn't have Hamilick. So it was one of those things out of sight, out of mind type of thing. Obviously, he's a great player and would help us, but, I really believed in the move, and, we're really excited about some of our young guys, moving forward, and these guys need the opportunity to play. And also, we felt our defense corps was up and coming, and fairly solid, and these guys need the ice time, and there's only so much to go around. So very well thought out decision that was made, and I think it was a great decision for our team.
And looking at this team that you have now, and then we're a couple of days away from opening night, Tom mentioned Matthew Wedman, and Obviously, he's a big part of your team. If he comes back, he's your number one center. Probably going to be your captain. I know you haven't named a captain yet. When you're in a situation like this, and obviously Florida, they don't really care what happens with the T-Birds. They're more interested in their own organization. When you have a guy like that out, you don't know what's happening. Do you treat it like an injury, like he's an injured guy, and we're just going to move forward with who we have here right now? Or how do you kind of manage that, not knowing what's going to happen with him?
Yeah, that's how you got to do it. As coaches, you deal with the players that are here. And Webman's not here right now, so we're moving forward with the guys that we have. Obviously, would we like to have Webman in the lineup? Absolutely, but at the moment he's not here, so we've got to piece together the lineup without him and power play units and things like that. So, like I said before, it opens up more opportunity for other guys, to show what they can do, and they've got to seize that opportunity.
And his situation is not necessarily surprising to you, because I think we talked again about this last year. You thought he would be drafted, and you thought there would be a chance that he could potentially stick as a pro this year, and maybe 50-50 that happens or he comes back. And if he doesn't come back, obviously you're thrilled for him, because this is what this league is all about, developing players for the next level.
That's right. We want to see our guys have success, and we know all the work that Weds has put in over the years. He's been a big part of our team, and to see him have that success last year and put himself in a position to get drafted was very cool to see. From a coach's standpoint and an organizational standpoint, we want our guys to get drafted. We want our guys to go on to play pro. So if Weds ends up sticking in the American League, we'll be extremely happy for him. And like I said, it'll be opportunity for other guys.
And the T-Birds are prepping for opening night coming up Saturday against the Kamloops Blazers here at the Accesso Showwear Center. For ticket information, go online at seattlethunderbirds.com. Just kind of sticking with that theme, turnover is part, most particularly of this level of major junior hockey. You kind of cycle through guys. I think the average career in the Western Hockey League is about three and a half seasons worth you get out of a player on average. You already knew you were going to be missing guys like Volkan and Philp, who graduated out. You mentioned Jared Tishka making that decision to forego his 20-year-old season. You talked about the success the team had the second half last year, going from well out of a playoff spot into a playoff position. With all those guys who were here last year missing, can you still build off that success and kind of carry that over to the start of this season from last year?
Yeah, I think so. I think the second half of the season and, the push that we made in the playoffs, I think it left a positive taste in everyone's mouth heading into the off season. A lot of our guys that are here were a part of that. So, we can build off that positive momentum. And, at the same time, it is a new season, a new group, new chemistry, new group of guys, new line combinations, all that stuff. So there is a sense of newness as well. But, I think ending the season the way we did, is some positive momentum going into this year.
And one guy you are getting back is Rabinski, who just came back earlier this week from the Panthers camp in the NHL. You didn't have him the full year last year. You get him for a full year this year. Watching him play, he just seems like he's a possession creator. He forces turnovers. He makes the guys around him better. What are you looking for out of him this year? I'm assuming he's one of your top line guys coming into the season.
Yeah, for sure. He was a big part of our turnaround last year. Kind of gave us a huge jolt of energy and youthful excitement to our lineup that helped us turn it around. And this year he's got a little bit more responsibility. He's going to have a little bit more attention from the opposition, with the year he had last year. And him being one of our key guys, there's a little bit more responsibility on him. He'll be playing more of a featured role, playing against other teams' top lines. He'll be asked to play some center as well, which he didn't play for us last year. So a little bit more responsibility. He's a year older, a year wiser. So, we've challenged him a little bit to be a little bit more detailed and expect more responsibility going into this year.
Is there a leadership component to that too? I mean, this is the first time in his career where he's not one of the younger guys on a team. Now he's one of the older guys. He's been through a lot. Is there an expectation that in the room he's adding a little more?
Yeah, there is. The dynamic of junior hockey is that your top players are automatically leaders. Guys that, you know, are good players, guys that have been drafted, you know, the younger guys look up to them and see how they do things, and, you know, they want to get drafted as well. So there's going to be eyes from the young guys on Ribby. We've talked to him about that, so it's important that his habits and his details day in and day out set a good example. He's not a rah-rah guy, but he's a guy that will lead with his work ethic and the way he does things.
And as we sit here right now, I look at the roster, and there are, you know, like a baker's dozen of new faces on this team, and primarily in that group, they're young guys. They are rookies. They're 16, 17-year-old. They're first or second-year players. Can you lean on them as that many players on the roster coming into this league for, you know, the first year or their first taste of a lengthy Western Hockey League season? Because we do count some of those guys who got a cup of coffee last year to handle the rigors of a Western Hockey League season and then be a producing member of the team as well.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously it's going to take time. There's going to be some ups and downs and some growing pains there that we understand that. But, from what they've shown so far this year in the preseason, they seem ready to step in and assume a good role on the team. So, we expect those guys to step in and have an impact. And then as the season goes on and they get a little bit more comfortable to even have more of an impact.
And I know you don't put a lot of stock in preseason because rosters for the opponents aren't necessarily their regular season rosters, but does winning those preseason games, getting in the habit of winning, does that count for something?
Yeah, it does. I mean, yeah, like I said, you take it in with a grain of salt, but you definitely want to go into the season with those wins under your belt as opposed to not having them. You learn how to win games. You know, it gives the guys confidence that, especially with new kids and rookies, that they are good enough to get the job done. And, you know, you take that momentum going into the season.
We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, the second half of the show, the coach will return along with Andy, and the general manager, Bill LaForge, will be a guest along with the voice of the first opponent, the Kamloops Blazers, John Keane, will give us some insight into Saturday night's opponent. Stay with us. We'll come back with more right here on Sports Radio KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Ahead of Saturday's opening night at home against Kamloops, welcome back to the inaugural Coach's Show of the new season. We still have Andy I here with us. The head coach, Matt Odette, will return later in the program. A reminder to go online at SeattleThunderbirds.com for ticket information, not just for opening night, for games throughout the season here at the Accesso Showwear Center. Still to come is the voice of the Blazers, John Keane, to preview Kamloops. But as we get ready to embark on season 45, let's bring in the architect, if you will. I guess they call general managers the architects. They are instrumental in putting these rosters, or bringing the players in that make the roster, and that is Bill LaForge, now in his second season as the Thunderbirds general manager. And Bill, although you didn't necessarily have a great hand in that 2018 Bantam draft as a member of the T-Bird staff, you weren't here yet. You came right after that draft. But that is kind of where this team is building around. There's a lot of excitement for that particular group. And I'm seeing in some instances, some of the fans wanted to compare it to the 2012 Seattle draft, which was the Matt Barzell draft. Is that a fair onus to put on these young guys to compare them to a group that led this franchise to a championship?
I think that's the goal for this group, definitely. But I don't think we want to compare them to anybody, just to themselves. And if they're getting better every day and they're working hard and they've shown a real work ethic already this year, that they're gonna stand on their own two feet. And we're really excited about that group and the groups that are, you know, surrounding them right now.
And there are a couple of rookies on this team that you did have a hand in bringing in, and Michael Horan and Brendan Williamson. Both looked like they were pretty sharp in the preseason and training camp. How pleased are you with the development you've seen from them over the last month?
Yeah, really excited. I mean, I think that, with Horan, he's a proven scorer everywhere he's ever went. He's scored, and I think he continued to do that here. I remember one of the goals he scored in Tri-Cities was just, you know, right under the crossbar, and it was a goal scorer's goal, so he kind of brought a smirk to my face when he did it. But they're still going to be learning for all these kids. you know, Williamson has come a long ways just from training camp to now. He looks like a different player. So I think both those guys are going to continue to improve, and they're going to be a big part of what we're trying to do.
We joke with Matt the first half of the show about maybe not being on speaking terms after you traded away some of his veterans, like Dylan Hamlick in particular, because he was opining late last season or after the season into last year about he being on the top line back and healthy. But talk about the anatomy of a trade like that. We go back to the Bantam draft day. You make the deal with the Kelowna Rockets, Hammer, Jake Lee, and Cole Schwabius going there, coming back. Connor Brugenkate, one of the pieces coming back, but primarily draft picks, high draft picks coming back, because you've got this young group we mentioned and you want to build around them, and one way to do it is to get some more young guys that will be here with them for two and possibly three seasons together. So talk about the anatomy of putting together that draft day deal.
Yeah, it's never an easy trade to make. I mean, you joke about Matt not being too happy, but I think that, you know, Matt's on board with what we're trying to do in the group that we have. So we thought it was really important to get another draft pick high in the draft. You know, we took Gustafson with our pick, and then right away we knew Korchinski was the guy we were chasing. And I think that if you watch the games he played in the preseason, you can see why. The game comes easy to him. He can play in any situation. So he's going to be a really big part of what we're doing in the futures. And then we just feel that having those high picks in the next few years is going to give us a lot of flexibility with, you know, bringing players in and doing what's best for the program right off the start.
And we should mention Kevin Korchinski, by the way, just named to, I think, the U16 for Team Saskatchewan. So another feather in your cap. So another good draft pick.
And that draft day trade was the second like big blockbuster trade you've made in the year that you've been here. You know, and initially when you look at those, it looks like, you know, you're selling or you're rebuilding. But talking to you, that's not your mentality. These aren't rebuild kind of trades. I mean, I just the couple times you've mentioned to me that you still expect to compete, you still expect to be in a playoff hunt, that this isn't a give up or anything like that. What's kind of your mentality when you make those moves?
Yeah, I think that we wouldn't do anything that put us behind the eight ball. We felt that with our defense coming back, you know, Kubacek, Bauer, McNelly, Williams, I got to be careful now, but yeah, with Williams and Ashton and Bateman, we had enough, you know, guys back there that we were going to be okay. And then we didn't have Hammer for the last half of the season. So he's obviously a big loss, and he's a great player and a good kid. But we felt that, you know, with the emergence of Rubinsky, that we would be able to handle that right now. And we had to find room for all of these young players we're bringing in. And they need time, and they need ice time, and they need special teams time. So it was, we think they're ready for the job, and you know, the proof's going to be in the next 68 games.
One other question here. This is a Western Hockey League hosted Memorial Cup season. Kelowna Rockets will host the tournament coming up in May. The last time the Western Hockey League hosted a couple years ago, Regina, was the 100th anniversary. It was a crazy trade deadline. Swift Current, Regina among those making some big moves, some big prices being paid. With the tournament again back in the Western Hockey League as the host team, and obviously Kelowna's already made a big deal with you to help build for that, and the fact that two Western Hockey League teams are guaranteed to be at that tournament, do you see a similar trade frenzy coming again in the Western Hockey League?
Yeah, it could very well happen. I mean, that year was kind of unique because there were so many teams that were good. Like, I know from the Western Conference, Everett was good, Portland was good, and Tri-Cities was making a push as well. So, and then in the East, you had, you know, I think it was Swift Current, Moose Jaw, and Regina were all loading up as well. So there was six teams buying, and there wasn't a lot of people for sale. So the prices were incredibly high. But you never know. That could happen again. It'll just depend on how the season plays out.
And as a general manager, like that Bantam draft day trade, how much prior to that day is that kind of in the works? Are you already having conversations with them? Are you already kind of kicking around what you might be able to do? Or is it kind of that you get there that day and all of a sudden that opportunity presents itself?
It happened pretty quick. We were obviously looking for a partner to get up into the draft because we had identified you know, a few players that we thought really fit what we're trying to do and the style of players that we were looking for. And you know what, we ended up getting, you know, our first four picks we all had rated as first round picks. So we ended up doing that. But No, I mean, it wasn't something that was a long play out, but it didn't just happen that morning. It was, there was a few teams involved, and we were all discussing on what could actually play out. So
it was a big trade, and who knows, maybe there are more to come. But Bill, we know you're on IR, lower body injury.
Yeah.
Just take the advice from Phil Varney, the trainer, and get better. But get ready and enjoy another season of T-Birds hockey, your second year as the general manager.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
From the friendly voice of the general manager of the T-Birds, we turn now to our first frenemy of the season here on the Coaches Show, the voice of the Kamloops Blazers, the T-Birds' first opponent of the season coming in Saturday, John Keane joining us. John, the Blazers, kind of like Seattle, I think we talked about this early on our program, a good core of young players, but they've got a solid group of veterans returning as well. You had a scorching preseason with 7-0, scored a lot of goals. I'm guessing there's a lot of expectations up there in Kamloops.
You know, Tom, I think you might be right on that, but I think the team is still trying to fly under the radar a little bit. They were down in numbers a lot quicker than other teams were, right? So they were able to play a veteran lineup some of these preseason games. But you're right, they did have a good preseason. They will score some goals. That line of Zane Franklin, Oren Tazo, and Logan Stankoven put up big numbers, 1, 2, 3 in preseason scoring. And then, the second line will be anchored by Connor Zary, who could be a first-round NHL pick come up in the summertime. But, I think T-Birds fans, T-Birds organization, will be pleased that Jermaine Lowen has graduated. He always seemed to play his best games in Seattle or against the T-Birds. So I'm sure, that'll be a welcomed deletion from the T-Birds side.
Yeah, if it's close game, it'll be good not to have him on the ice in the final minute to play. I think he scored a couple of last-minute goals to beat Seattle. But you mentioned some of the names that T-Birds fans may be familiar with from the last couple of seasons, like Zary and Franklin. You've got a good young goaltender as well. But the one name you just mentioned there, we talk here about Seattle's young 16-year-old group, but Logan Stankoven, well, he looks like the real deal. Tell the T-Bird fans about this guy and why they need to keep their eye on him.
Well, it's great because not only is he a young, dynamic player, he's also a Kamloops native. And the Blazers had to cross their fingers and toes and everything, you name it, make sure they got him in the WHL batting draft. And they picked fifth that year, and he was a top five pick, they thought, but they didn't really know if going to fall into their lap. And sure enough, there he was at number five, and I think the Blazers raced the podium to announce that selection. So he's a diminutive player. He's smaller. He is a guy that has scored at every level. He had a major midget scoring record here last year. He's no gold mark for goals in the season. And he just does all the little things. We can talk about scoring the goals, but that's part of his game. But he does so much other stuff. He distributes the puck very well. He works hard. He's tenacious on the fourth deck. He really is a treat to watch. 16, you can't rely on 16-year-old for offense. It's rare that you get 20 goals out of a 16-year-old, let alone 10. I think that recent expectations for him to provide some offense because he'll get top-line minutes. And a great kid to deal with. They're all excited. I know the fan base is super pumped to have him in.
And we talk about the U.S. division and how difficult it is every year, year in and year out. It's a dogfight. You're in that B.C. division. You've got the defending Western Conference champions, Vancouver. They should be solid again this year. You've got the host team for the Memorial Cup, the Kelowna Rockets, who we all assume are still building their roster towards that. But I think this Kamloops team is going to give both those teams a run for their money.
I think that's the expectation, Tom. I think you're on the mark there. There might be a bit of a tiered division this year with the three teams you mentioned, Vancouver, Kelowna, and Kamloops. And then, Prince George and Victoria might be in that second tier. But I've learned to never count Victoria out. I don't know how many years we've done season previews and haven't put Victoria in like a top three in the division, and they always seem to find a way on the island to have success. Prince George might be a little bit falling behind as far as where they're at, but they have expectations to make the playoffs there. So, the division's going to be tough. And I thought the U.S. division was really strong. That was the strength of the Western Conference last year, without a doubt. I think this year, though, the strength might be within the B.C. division here this year.
Well, we look forward to opening night here Saturday at the Accesso Showwear Center. Look forward to seeing you and the Blazers and getting this season underway. John, thanks for joining us, and we will see you on Saturday night.
Already thinking about the atmosphere in there on Saturday. It's going to be electric, so we can't wait for it, Tom. Thanks for the phone call.
Well, it's just one of a number of opponents you face over the course of a season, but it's opening night, so we'll spend a little bit of time here on this Kamloops Blazer team that's coming in. And kind of some similarities in that they have a lot of good young players, but they return some solid veterans. I think Andy, you and I were talking that they could be a team that's going to finish near the top, if not the top, of the BC division. What have you, I don't say you've seen from preseason video, because you probably don't put too much stock in that preseason coach, but what do you remember about them from last year, and what do you expect from them Saturday?
Well, I think from what they've done in the preseason, they obviously look like a dangerous team. I think they're undefeated, 7-0, and you know, we don't really, you don't follow it too much, but you kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the league. They've got some young guys that are tearing it up, paired with some of their veteran guys, guys like Franklin and Zeri. You know, I think they'll have a potent lineup up and down up front, and you know, they'll be something to contend with. But you know, I think last year in the second half of the season, we're racing these guys for a playoff spot, and we developed somewhat of a little bit of a rivalry with these guys. So it'll be a tough test, but we'll be fired up to play these guys.
And like you, they have a pretty impressive-looking young 16-year-old rookie coming in as Stankoven. What have you seen, or what do you know of him? I know he played a little bit last year at the end of the season for him, but what do you see out of him?
Well, he looks like a dynamic player. Obviously, I think they got him paired with Franklin there, and those guys have torn up the preseason there. I think, yeah. I mean, what else can you say? 15 points in seven games or whatever he played. So it's he'll be a dangerous guy to contend with, and you know, obviously a good start to his career.
Well, you've got some young 16-year-olds. I don't know if they're in that same category, but you like your group.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got guys that all come in and make an impact. Obviously, Connor Roulette, Lucas Siona, Caillou Chazer. I mean, obviously what they've done in the preseason, they've stepped in. Looking extremely ready to play. So we've got our young guys that we're excited with. They've got theirs. So, you know, and our young guys have proved with these younger lineups in the preseason that, you know, we feel pretty confident that our young guys are better than a lot of teams' young guys moving forward. So that's definitely something to be excited about.
Well, Coach, we will see you Saturday night for the home opener. Annie will join me on the broadcast, so tune in for that. I want to thank our guest, General Manager Bill LaForge, and the voice of the Kamloops Blazers, John Keane. Again, opening night Saturday right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Odette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds Hockey, 1090 KJR.